Welcome to the Crowfall Podcast with your hosts, Chris and Walker. This is Walker, and today we're sharing perspectives from our first full week in Crowfall. We've checked out the dreg, gotten ganked and done some ganking, and stared at the abyss that is crafting. Be sure and check us out on Twitter and Minds at Crowfall Pod. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chris. Chris, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. So we got a good chunk of actual playtime under our belts now. Still really early, obviously, but much more than I was able to report on launch day, where I just looked at loading screens all day. So.
Yeah, it was like a good first week. I was able to get some good days in there. Was on vacation, so pretty much just all week straight, and it was a wonderful experience. It was probably the most fun that I've had in an MMO since, you know, decades ago.
Really?
Just meeting all of the new people and finding, you know, a good decent core group to kind of run around with. You know, do some PvP, leveled up pretty quickly. It's a good time.
Yeah, so I the first character I made, I went ahead and leveled from 1 to 30. And that took, I don't know, 6 hours maybe. I don't know, give or take an hour of that. But somewhere in that. And then after that, I've now also boosted 3 additional characters to 25. And certainly if you do that, I mean, the leveling from 25 to 30 is, I mean, maybe it's an hour or two. I don't know. It's not 10 minutes, but it's pretty brief. Yeah. I guess it could be 10 minutes if you just hoarded a bunch of sacrifice items and turned those all in.
Yeah, that's a thing. I've been banking those for some alts.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mechanic because it's also not just sacrifice items. Like you can sacrifice gear, like equipment and stuff that drops off mobs as well. So it's not just the sacrifice item. So it's kind of an interesting way to, I don't know, burn up items that doesn't generate more gold every time in the world. So
yeah, and I guess you can sacrifice them also to upgrade keeps as well, is what I hear.
Yeah, yep. And then also, when you level to, now I haven't seen this firsthand, but someone in the guild the other day had purchased the level 31 vessel.
Oh, really?
And it was 191,000 XP to go from 30 to 31. And it's like 5,000 XP to go from 29 to 30. So the ramp up in XP required to go past that soft cap of 30 seems like it's a pretty dramatic increase. So potentially my whole point just being you could save the sacrifice items, you know, for that as well.
When you have the vessel applied, can you get that XP anywhere? Or do you have to be in the dregs? Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't. Nothing was indicated to me that it would be dregs exclusive. I don't know why it would be necessarily. I mean, I guess the only reason would be the highest level creatures you run into in Skypoint are level 30. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you would need to go to dregs to fight things that are your level, right, or higher. So,
yeah.
So I guess, you know, we start out in God's Reach, which is the default new player kind of campaign, and then, was it maybe 3 days in, they opened up the first dreg for the, I think it was on maybe on Friday for the weekend, or maybe Saturday, something like that. So the dreg's a pretty interesting concept. I mean, it's the whole reason that I was interested to play Crowfall from the beginning, I guess, is these mini servers that have their own mini time frame to exist and different restrictions. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you joined it before I did. So what was your dregs experience like?
It was definitely the real deal. I'll tell you, I mean, so you, on death, you lose everything in your inventory.
But not everything that's equipped, just inventory.
So always important to make sure you bank that stuff before you go out there. And we ran around, and we actually got into some really good fights, group on group, and performed really well, considering that we were, you know, in a guild group, and we had just basically met on launch day, right? We haven't been playing together, but performed really well. We did, of course, run into some larger Zergs. There was a couple fights that we were winning, and then their buddies showed up and, you know, ended up taking us out. So that was a little disappointing, but, you know, as you know, that's kind of the deal with open world PvP. I mean, you can get flanked by other groups even while you're fighting. They're not just going to stand around and let you finish first, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's, I mean, in Dark Age of Camelot, there was, I don't know if subculture is the right word, but there was a, I guess it would be a group of people who just wanted to do, in Dark Age, it was 8-on-8 fights because eight man groups was the size. Mm-hmm. And so there was just a community that just wanted to do 8v8, and they would get super mad on the forums if other people interrupted that, and they would go on the forums and designate certain spots to meet to try and have these more competitive fights or whatever. I think in this, that will be provided by the Hunger Dome. I believe that's the function of that, is like an arena battleground style PvP where you just jump in with a team and fight. So
yeah, and I guess that team can be anyone, even people outside your guild.
I think so, because the whole Murder of Crows thing.
Yeah, which would link you up and allow you to make some teams like that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's a delicate balance, I guess. On the one hand, you know, if you go out into open world and just run into Zerg after Zerg after Zerg, then, and you're not in one, then the battleground limited player size type thing sounds a lot more fun, right? Because you can actually play. But I don't know, like, I've been able to do open world PvP for hours on end, and PvPing in something like, you know, I'll pick on World of Warcraft, but with its battlegrounds and arenas, I mean, it's fun, but it's the same map, it's the same objectives. It gets to be a thing where, because in a WoW BG, for example, you're actually playing an objective, right? So the point of the match isn't to kill each other. It's to capture points or capture the flag or whatever. That starts to grind on me too. You know what I mean? So I'm definitely more excited by the open world despite its shortcomings and, you know, getting ganked. But I think that's because I can gank too. You know what I mean? Like,
right. And this particular first dregs, I mean, it was guild versus guild. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, you don't have the same faction team that you might have where even if you're in a different guild, you're kind of allied in that sense, you know?
Yeah. And
so every guild was on their own.
Right. Right. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. I was just going to say, in God's Reach,
no, you're fine.
You're determined by, you align with one of three factions, just in case anyone's not understanding what we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, I think, well, did you look at the larger overworld map for the Dreg that shows all of the different zones?
Yeah, there seemed to be quite a bit.
Yeah, there's like, I want to say maybe 5 or 6 zones to fight in. Plus a free city zone and then like the Earth Temple or whatever. But yeah, definitely a lot of space to cover. And I think that's interesting too, because assuming they don't just use the same maps forever, which I don't know why they would really, it'll also, not only will the campaign, a new dreg starting, be yet another opportunity for people to kind of restart and reestablish, but if the map's not identically laid out, then it's also people don't get to just know all the nooks and crannies that maybe a newer player wouldn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Outside of the dregs in the regular campaign that we were playing in, we did a lot more PvP there as well. And last night got into some really good fights, even larger scale, where we were holding a fort and taking on a group and letting them funnel into that middle area. You know, you have to capture the middle fort designated spot to capture the fort. And so we had captured it, and this other group was coming in trying to recapture it, and we were kind of using that throne room, allowing them to funnel in, which worked really well. And then, of course, they had some friends, so then there was like two or three more groups that came in from the other entrances. But it was pretty fun because, you know, it's like, man, I haven't felt that since Camelot, where you're taking that keep, you know, and everyone's in there fighting over the control point.
So I actually had also a reminiscent of Camelot PvP style experience, but it was on the opposite end of that spectrum. So in Dark Age of Camelot, there were designated PvP zones, RVR zones, and it was largely intended that you were level 50, which was the max level if you were out there. Uh-huh. But there were mobs, creatures, NPCs that you could kill that were lower level than that. So sometimes people who were lower level than 50 would be out in these PvP zones in Dark Age, grinding, farming, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't stand a chance in a fight because they're really low level. So when you and I very first started playing Dark Age PvP, that was one of our first places to actually see some wins against just players who were just too low level to compete. And so we would make kind of a circle and run to all these different popular XP spots and then gank XPers that were there if we couldn't find other fights. So in Crowfall last night, me and another guy went to On God's Reach. So again, the new player campaign, not the dreg. We went to the earliest version of the PvP zones where if you die, you drop half your gold.
Okay.
Very few people are out there farming. There's one for each faction. So if anyone is out there, they're usually within their own factions, right? Because if you want to go PvP, you may as well go to Skypoint, and really, you probably should just go to the dreg. Mm-hmm. We definitely went to the other factions, again, entry-level PvP zone, and ganked people and stole several thousand gold, which is highly rewarding for me.
Yeah, that might
because
actually
I'm petty.
That might be one of the better ways to farm gold. I don't know.
Until this podcast airs, and then cat's out of the bag. So back to the drawing board we go. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, it was, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I said earlier today, I was talking about it, and I said, I feel guilty for the pleasure I gain from stealing. And it is also balanced by, I am the worst loser. Like when someone steals all my stuff, I'm a super huge baby about it. So, whatever that means.
It's like, when you're out there farming and stuff, it's like every time I get a few thousand gold, I'm like, man, I should probably bank that before someone ganks me.
Yeah, well, and in the dreg, you gotta, I mean, it's just if you have any items at all, you're like, eh, maybe it's time to head back, you know.
Yeah,
not safe out here. But yeah, it's so I was surprised at, I'm always interested to understand how different RPGs will build their power system. So like in Crowfall, having a level 30 is not really anything, because again, you can insta level to 25 and it takes, you know, an hour or two to get to 30. So everyone can do that very quickly and easily, right? Getting the vessels and the increased levels obviously is one very clear way of increasing your power over time. And I guess it ties in just like the gear does. It's all done through crafting.
Yeah.
And yeah, the crafting system is very, very, very complicated.
There's a lot of layers to that.
There sure are. Another thing that's interesting is, so games like WoW or Final Fantasy 14, probably ESO. I don't know. I haven't played it a lot, so maybe I'm being unfair. But one thing that they do that I think really drove their popularity is they offer single player experience, right? Like you can play World of Warcraft basically not with a group and not with a guild and just do pugs and pug most of the content in the game successfully. But old school MMOs like Dark Age and EverQuest, they didn't do that, right? In those games, you almost had to get a group to play. Well, the same thing is true in Crowfall. Like you really can't play solo effectively in PvP because you're just going to run into two people if you're by yourself, and then you probably lose that fight. But that's also so it pushes you to play together, certainly in that way. But that is, I mean, essential to their crafting system as well. Like, you can do all of the crafting as a single player, but the time that it would take to do that is just enormous. And it definitely rewards playing together in the profession system, I guess, or the discipline system, I guess, as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, the amount of resources that it's going to take to do all of the crafting would just be insane. And the money that you need and all that stuff, I mean, it just rewards having other people specialize in certain things so you can get certain components. Because it's all built on like assembling components, you know, for everything. You got to get this from that person, this from there, and then put them all together. And when you put all of those together, then you get the chance to potentially level up the crafting, you know.
Which also seems to be a dice roll, right? It's RNG when that levels. Yeah. It's I don't know. So Albion Online is basically the same. EVE Online is probably the same. I actually didn't ever get deep enough into the crafting in EVE Online to understand what all goes into it, but I'm sure, you know, there's a variety of disciplines that have to come together. And in fairness, I mean, Dark Age of Camelot even had that, right? Like, to make a sword, I'm pretty sure you had to have like a tailor or someone make the hilt, or I don't know, someone else had to do something, you know what I mean? So it's not unique to this, but it absolutely is incentivizing people to collaborate, specialize, and not divide your time and attention across all of the choices, because you just never get there.
Yeah. And it kind of, I've been playing around with the Eternal Kingdom because it kind of offers a central location for storage, you know, for the guild and everything. Trying to get, you know, some of those resources stockpiled and shared. And the Eternal Kingdom is really interesting. I guess that because it's separate from the server, that whoever Eternal Kingdom that you're using, so if it's on my account, then I have to log in the Eternal Kingdom for other people to access it. I guess it stays up for a certain amount of time and has to be refreshed. To invite people to the Eternal Kingdom, I also have to be inside of it to do the commands to allow them to enter when it is up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of experimenting going on, trying to figure out how to get people in there and, you know, what was going on with that.
Yeah, I mean, so there's, you know, the clear solution to this, what I'm about to say, I guess, is probably to join a guild of people who played a long time in the beta and maybe they can tell you how everything works because they would just know.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't do that and have not played with people who played in the beta largely. And it's just really, I mean, it, whether it be crafting, whether it be the Eternal Kingdom and how that works, it's just really, really hard to find clear information. And I'm even willing to go Google, but when you go do that, you've got 5 years of, you know, research results to comb through. And obviously you can filter it through Google search and whatever, but bottom line just being it's definitely a thing where we just have to kind of be in it and do it to figure it out. Cause there's not a manual that just says, yeah, do this and this and this, and then you win.
It's definitely its own rabbit hole. And, you know, you never know, like, when you come across older results, you know, a lot of things changed in the beta. So you don't know, like, exactly where they're coming from. Like, maybe what they're saying is not how it works anymore, you know, if it's a few years old.
Yeah. That's what I meant by having to comb through years of results is, like, yeah, if it's from when the game first came out, a lot of systems work different. So. But I don't know. There's some charm to that as well. As convenient as it is to be able to go to a game's wiki and look up how everything works, there's some charm also to not having that be readily available, because it's rare. Because in another 6 months, that won't be true for this game anymore, right? Like, everyone, now it's live. The player base will collaborate and create, I don't know, it's a wiki, but whatever. They'll create resources for people to look at. But I mean, like, for example, I didn't understand in the crafting, the way it works is based on the materials that you combine. So let's say you want to make a sword, and so you have to combine two different metals or three different metals. Well, the stats of the sword change based on what metals you combine. So,
yeah.
And where I found that, the information on that that's the easiest to access is on some guild's website. And so they put together a spreadsheet that I assume is still accurate, you know, but it's not like on the Crowfall wiki or Crowfall's website on their forums. It's, again, just some random guild. And that makes me think of Dark Age too, because that's how finding information for that was back in the day. Like, you just had to kind of comb, and maybe you find what you're looking for, maybe you don't.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a succinct way to explain that, where it's like, it feels like it has that, you know, what that exploration, what made old MMOs great, the not knowing, and then combine that with, you know, a newer way of kind of going about it, because it doesn't play like a traditional MMO in that sense, where you're just killing mobs, you know, for days on end trying to get a few levels. It definitely gets you into the PvP quicker. But there's all of that unknown there, where it's like, yeah, I'm just enjoying playing around, running around, exploring stuff. I mean, we got people in the guild that are enjoying crafting, and, like, yeah, we're just putting materials together and seeing what we can get, you know, trying to figure out what's what.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. There's a ton of experimentation to be had. And just in, I mean, sometimes it's not even something huge. Like, I didn't know until the second day or the third day that you could hit control tab to cycle through the chat tabs. Cause that's something unique to Crowfall, is the chat window is like 10 tabs or something that are all separated. And I guess I'll have useful information, but because it's not a tab target game, you don't have a mouse cursor by default. So I thought to change tabs, I was initially hitting escape using the mouse, clicking the tab, which is very cumbersome. So control tab, learning that, quality of life changer. Turns out also you can click the middle mouse button, and that does the same thing as the escape key. Also huge quality of life changer. Didn't know that until last night. So
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of details there, and I'm hoping that we get even some more quality of life improvements as it progresses. You know, being able to customize some of the tabs in the chats and everything, maybe getting multiple informations in one tab, as opposed to having to always switch the tabs to make sure that you see what's being said in Guild or other places.
Yeah, I. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
But I do really like the Guild chat tab because it feels, kind of old school, just kind of playing around and chatting in the Guild chat. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, once Discord became a thing and people didn't have to set up event server anymore, and it was just a button to click and you can have your own Discord server, in-game chat definitely took a back seat in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm terrible about reading the chat now consistently. You know, when we used to play Dark Age, I don't know how often I was checking the chat, but it had to be really frequently because I was seeing stuff all the time. Whereas now, yeah, I really have to remind myself to look constantly at that corner. I would like to see also just like more UI customization options. Like I'd like to be able to scale the UI down, maybe make my hotbar smaller, make the chat box bigger, maybe decrease the font size in it or something, but just be able to customize all that a little more. I'm curious if that will happen or not, though, just because of the way the UI works. Like when you hit escape and your inventory opens, it's not just a floating inventory window, right? It's like half of the screen comes across and it's just this locked half of the screen that is the inventory.
Yeah, to your point, I being able to incorporate more information into like one tab, like if you in Dark Age when it was easy to not miss anything because you could have whispers or tells also on the guild tab, so it shows up. If you're on the wrong tab in this game, you may miss what's in guild chat, if you're just on general or something.
Yep, no, 100% true. I mean, it's happened to me plenty of times. And actually, I was always hanging out in guild chat because we have quite a bit of people in the guild and people are talkative or whatever. But I actually ended up going into the general chat yesterday, and that's actually a pretty good spot to go to, at least when I was in there, because there's just people sharing all sorts of information. And again, since it's like it's 1997 internet all over again, we just have to rely on other people having seen it already.
Have you ventured in faction chat? That's pretty good too. I mean, that's your team chat. Everyone on Earth or Chaos or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's Earth, Sun, and Moon. Yeah, I haven't really been in faction chat a lot. I did general chat yesterday. I've done zone chat a few times.
That's
But yeah.
Kingdom, right? Zone
No,
chat.
that's also separate.
Oh,
Yep.
okay.
Yep. I'm not actually sure what kingdom refers to.
Me either. Me either. I thought it was map, but maybe not. No.
I assume that's zone. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. And then I was like, is it Eternal Kingdom? Right. But I don't think so again, because then that, so yeah, I really have no idea what the what the kingdom chat is, and there's nowhere to look it up and find out. I mean, like you were talking about with the Eternal Kingdom thing. So nowhere does it just explicitly say if you're not logged into the Eternal Kingdom, other people also can't access it, even if you set it to public, right? We kind of stumbled into that reality because people couldn't join, and then when you would log in, then they could. And then I happened to notice that on the VIP subscription reward benefits or whatever, or subscription benefits, it said one of the benefits of being a VIP subscriber is it adds an additional 3 hours of uptime to your Eternal Kingdom. And so it was like, okay, well, so that implies that there's either no time otherwise or less time or so, you know, whatever, something. But then I went and looked at the FAQ on Crowfall's website and looked everywhere. I can't find anywhere that just says how long it's up if you don't have VIP. Like, do you have to be signed in? All the time.
Yeah, I don't know on the default time. I mean, it's if it's an instantaneous thing where you just log out and it's gone, like I don't know. Just have to try it, I guess. But I'm on VIP, so I guess it's the 3 hours until the VIP is gone, at least.
So something else I wanted to talk about. I mean, we're kind of circling back to the dregs thing now, but so I didn't really understand what I was doing when I locked myself to a dreg and then left an hour later and unlocked myself from it. So I figure I just give a quick explanation in case anyone listening hasn't figured this out or encountered this yet. So when you go to the dreg, you get your account gets 20 tokens. And you can take, at least in this first dreg, now the dregs are supposedly subject to a variety of rule sets, so I don't know that this will always be true, but for this one, you can't bring any inventory. You can only bring what you're wearing. Except that your account gets these 20 tokens, and every item that you bring into the dreg that you're wearing eats up one of those tokens. If you have a fully equipped character, that's 20 slots. So if you leave the dreg, you leave whatever you had, you earned in the dreg, or whatever you were wearing, or anything. All of that gets left in the bank on the dreg. And you can then go back to any other campaign, and you can even return to that dreg, but your tokens don't refresh. So you can never bring another full set of inventory over, right? So basically, you have to show up naked. Now, if you left stuff in the bank when you left the dreg, then that stuff is still there, so you could put it back on. But yeah, I didn't understand any of that. I didn't understand exactly how it works. You can take stuff out of the dreg, can't really bring stuff into the dreg, or at least in a very limited capacity, can you?
Yeah, so if you went in, which I did, and burned about 16 tokens without knowing, and then I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna go back out and go to the other place and go back to farming. So I had to pull my character out and then ended up pulling all the equipment out. So if I go back, then I'm basically got to go in naked and get some stuff before I'll be equipped again.
But it's really awesome. Like, I'm so excited by the dreg immediately because in a game like Albion or a game like Eve, these guilds of people that played the beta and stuff that know what they're doing and are highly organized, they're going to be so far ahead on this dreg, right? Like, I would be floored if anyone is even competitive that didn't play in the beta for this dreg. But this first dreg ends in 3 weeks. And then the next time a new one starts, that much more of the player base is going to be understanding what they need to do to get started on a dreg and how the token system works, right? And so it's just not allowing these monolithic guilds to just maintain their power forever because they never have to restart. So yeah, I think the first dreg I've already chalked up to I'm not getting any of those rewards unless I quit the guild we're in and join a flavor of the month big guild that probably wouldn't let me in because what value do I add?
We did cap an outpost or something for like a few minutes. I don't know if that counts, but
Oh, in the guild dreg you did? Oh, nice.
I don't know if we held it long enough, but
Did we? I don't remember last time. Did we talk about the siege timers last time?
I don't maybe a little bit. I don't remember.
Well, so I think that's how it works, though, is like there's stuff comes up for siege and it's available to siege for an hour window, and then after that it can't be sieged again until the next scheduled time. And I think you accrue points on an hourly basis for whatever you hold. So I don't think you get points for just taking it over like in the middle of the siege window, but whoever's holding it at the end of siege window then is accruing points for it on some interval. So,
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
which is cool too. I think the siege system is really cool because it funnels people together. It creates natural hotspots on the map, which I think they literally call them that. And it eliminates I mean, really what Dark Age of Camelot typically became when we used to play it was we played on Hibernia mostly when we played a lot, at least, you know, of PvP, in-game PvP. And Hibernia and Albion were mostly North American players and had similar populations. So it was pretty competitive.
Yeah.
But then Midgard, the third faction, was largely EU players on the server we played on. So they would log on in the middle of the night or the early part of the, you know, the day. And when we would come back in the afternoon, Midgard would own everything. And then we would take everything back over throughout the night. And then everyone goes to bed and Midgard logs in and does it again. So you're not really fighting each other, you know?
Yeah.
Ark. I mean, Ark is not an MMO, but that's the same thing. Like, I don't know how often I've actually fought someone else head to head in Ark. You know what I mean? Like you raid people when they're not online. So I appreciate the siege schedule eliminating that, because that's not actually a fun way to lose. It's just that you weren't online because you don't only play Crowfall.
Yeah. With timer, at least, everyone is aware of what, you know, keeps are up for grabs and at what time. Mm-hmm. And so it allows to funnel those fights. Because, I mean, another issue is, like, running around in an open world and not being able to find fights.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of knowing where those could take place can help, especially on off hours or, you know, you're running around at 3 a.m. It's like, well, where could I possibly find a fight right now? You know?
Yeah. 100% agree with that. That's definitely a problem in all open world PvP games that I've ever played, is, you know, just finding an empty field or whatever. I am curious to see too, though, because obviously at launch, there's not a drag, right? There was only God's Reach campaigns. Mm-hmm. So they started, like, I don't know, 12 God's Reach servers or something. I don't know how many, but a bunch. Yeah. And now there's 3 versions of the dreg server. Then their time zone base is the 3 different ones. But right now what you have is, like, if you go out to God's Reach, you're on one of a wide variety of instances of that. I think as time goes forward, I'm curious to see if they pare down the amount of God's Reach instances, more of the player base will be going to actual campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that will help too. Cause even now I've seen some people complaining that this game just came out and I'm running around and I can't find a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because the player base is split across a bunch of instances of the same world in the case of God's Reach. And though, to your point about the funneling, anyone who's looking at the schedule isn't running around just randomly in the open world, right? They're going to these different siege events. So I think the multiple instances, and then also just the natural funneling the game possesses, probably diminishes the ability to just find random fights as often.
Yeah, for sure. But it'll be exciting to see how it shakes out, you know, as it gets into the second week, you know, more people are aware of what's going on.
I know, it's so early. I'm really excited to see how it unfolds as well. I think the first week's been super fun. The PvP is fun right away. Like you said, if you get overrun by larger numbers, then that is what it is. But if you can actually find a fight that's reasonable, yeah, it's a good time. So yeah, I'm really, really, really excited with it, and really excited to see where it goes. Anything else you wanted to cover?
Real quick, I'll share a story. Is that we were out here farming some mobs, ran into a group, right? So we engaged them, and it was like four on five, right? We were the four, and we're fighting these people. It was probably like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Like, we were just going back and forth. And then our fifth member, who was on his way back, comes over the hill, CCs everyone, and then we just start taking him down one at a time. And it was, I don't know, it was a really good moment.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Those little moments like that are what makes it, right? I mean, when we play Dark Age, and we have plenty of big fight stories, but most of the stories that still remain with us are smaller fight stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's more intimate like that. Well, that is all for the show today. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure and follow us on social media at Twitter or Minds at Crowfall Pod, and check us out next week for next week's episode. Thanks again for listening.